Welcome to episode 220 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on March 5th, 2021. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott are recovering from a busy week as they break down the Microsoft Ignite keynote and the announcement of Microsoft Mesh. Then they dive into a few recent discoveries in AZ Advertiser and the Docs Update Tracker, both used for keeping abreast of changes going on within the Microsoft Cloud world. Do you want me to start dancing in virtual reality for you? Will that help discombobulate and then confuse you? Or augmented? Technically, that was augmented.
No, I want no dancing in virtual reality to be had by anyone. I'm over VR this week as well.
So the only thing that was playing through my head when I was watching that was, what was it? One of the Windows releases when Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer were dancing on stage.
Yeah, there's been all sorts of things. So if you had the opportunity to watch Satya's keynote, opened up with the typical positioning statements, rah, 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 here's the things that are going on in the world, all well and good. And as it progressed, it got a little bit weirder. So one of the things that had been positioned up front was the keynote was also going to be broadcast in virtual reality and within an application called Alt VR. So if you had an Oculus headset or PlayStation VR and anything like that, you could go ahead and experience the keynote that way as well. And it kind of digressed into this augmented reality, I'll call it an experiment. I don't know. I think conceptually, like a neat idea. There's a bunch of things going on in collaborative VR and AR spaces to help bring people together more, which I could be totally down with, right? If you can't see your friends in person, maybe like seeing an avatar is better than trying to sit in front of a Zoom meeting, right? You need to get up, maybe be mobile, interact in different ways, all those kinds of things. So there were some interviews with CEOs of partners and users at other companies who work with Microsoft. There was an AR demo for Pokemon because everybody loves Niantic and all the things they've got going on with like Pokemon Go. And you're doing all these demos on HoloLens, which let's face it, like HoloLens is not a device that is accessible for the majority of people. Arguably, Oculuses are not accessible for most people at $300. At $3,500 for a HoloLens?
I thought they came down, but they're still measured in the thousands.
They're still pretty darn expensive. So arguably less accessible than something like an Oculus or doing like maybe even like AR off your phone or whatever. And it just kept getting like, I don't know, for me, like sitting and trying to pay attention and be engaged with the keynote in real time, like it got more and more difficult to be. And then at some point there was an awkward dance party and it went from like the Little Mermaid under the sea to awkward dance party where like maybe if you were on hallucinogens, it would have been okay. it was an experience. I'll give them that.
You made it a lot longer than I did.
I went all the way to the end, but
I started eating lunch and I was kind of watching it on the screen. I was like, I don't know what is going on. And you started making comments about live comments that were going by. So I had to jump back in and start watching it, look at comments. And yeah, it was unique to say the least. But I mean, part of the purpose of all of this was to announce like this product that they were doing it all in, which was Microsoft Mesh, not to be confused with...
Yep, which is like conceptually super cool.
Right, but not to be confused with Live Mesh, which was a former syncing product like pre-OneDrive.
Yeah, listen, everything's a remix when it comes to product naming.
So the only thing I could think of when we were watching this, like I kept thinking of the Oasis and Ready Player One as we were watching Microsoft Mesh. I'm like, they totally just made the Oasis and called it Mesh.
Except they made a worse version of it.
Well, to be fair, no one actually made the real Oasis.
The nice thing about like science fantasy is it's fantasy, so it can be more fantastic than the real world that surrounds us.
I just want my haptic suit so I can feel the bubbles popping and the water rushing around. Okay, I should probably stop right there.
Yeah,
rushing around me, and yeah, this is going.
You're off the rails.
Have you read Ready Player? Yeah, have you read Ready Player 2 yet?
No, I haven't. Is it worth my time? I heard it wasn't very good, so I was.
It's taking me a long time to get through it. I'm listening to it,
holding off until I was bored.
Yeah, I'm listening to it, and it's one of those that I've just kind of been poking my way through because now I'm curious where it goes. But I definitely was into Ready Player One a lot more than Ready Player Two.
Yeah, well, it's tough to repeat your hits sometimes.
It is. Most of the time, it is. Do you feel overwhelmed by trying to manage your Office 365 environment? Are you facing unexpected issues that disrupt your company's productivity? IntelliJink is here to help. Much like you take your car to the mechanic that has specialized knowledge on how to best keep your car running, IntelliJink helps you with your Microsoft Cloud environment because that's their expertise. IntelliJink keeps up with the latest updates in the Microsoft Cloud to help keep your business running smoothly and ahead of the curve. Whether you are a small organization with just a few users up to an organization of several thousand employees, they want to partner with you to implement and administer your Microsoft Cloud technology. Visit them at IntelliJink.com/podcast. That's IntelliJink.com/podcast for more information or to schedule a 30-minute call to get started with them today. Remember, IntelliJink focuses on the Microsoft Cloud so you can focus on your business. Very few is two or three or four, or in the case of certain shows like 17. Better than the first one. The Matrix, maybe. Back to the Future, maybe. I don't know. We're devolving again. But that was the big product announcement. All of that was Microsoft Mesh. And that was one that we were not privy to in the book of news. So that one was one of those we did not talk about on the last episode because we had no idea it was coming.
Yeah, we probably should have prefaced the last one with we were recording that before Ignite occurred.
Yeah, not after. I think we mentioned, I don't know, maybe we didn't mention it in there, but that was definitely before all of it, before all these announcements. So I agree, like Live Mesh, the concept of it is cool. I definitely would not go do a dance party in it. And it's one of those two, like you feeling like you're in the same place, being able to interact with the people and avatars in VR. I'm curious to see the business case for it. Like, is the thought that you would start doing meetings for this? Watching the keynote, I got the sense that it would make like a better CES type announcement keynote than a Microsoft Ignite type announcement. Just because the different markets you tend to target with those two different events.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, nobody at Microsoft is saying, "Hey, we're sending all the employees HoloLenses, right?" And you're gonna be required to pop on your headset to attend a meeting or anything like that.
Yeah, we'll have to see where it goes. But that was interesting, and there were a lot more announcements too. That details that came out of stuff that we talked about last week. Like you said, it's been a week. I have not had a chance to sort through them yet, so we are not going to dive into a lot of the new details because, frankly, I need a little bit of time to digest them all and dig through them all and figure out what I want to talk about. So, moving on from the world of VR and AR and Mesh and awkward dance parties, what else should we talk about today?
There is a bunch of different things kicking around out there that I thought it would be fun to talk about. Real quick, an announcement that came up, and this was released before Ignite, was that cross-region restore is now available for Azure virtual machines that are backed up through Azure Backup. So if you have a virtual machine and you are using Azure Backup and recovery mechanism for that, now you have the capability to backup locally to your backup vault in kind of your primary region. And then you can actually restore over to a secondary region. And this isn't like Azure Site Recovery. It's not ASR where it's actively, you know, migrating bits of your VM in real time and kind of keeping a colder copy over there for you to turn on later and stand up. It's not a migration mechanism, like it's a restore mechanism. You can now go ahead and enable cross-region restore for your VM backups. That's CRR basically from here on out. And that's pretty cool. So you effectively go into things like Backup Center or your recovery services vault. And now as your restoration mechanism, you'll do the same things you always did. You'll select your restore point and kind of which configuration you want to go ahead and bring back along the way. So what's the name of that new VM going to be? You know, what resource groups are going in? What virtual network, things like that are going to affect it? So I thought that was a super cool thing and super powerful to have come out.
Yeah, that is nice. So I'm trying to think through, like, what scenario would you restore? I mean, I suppose it would be one way to move, but you can also already move resources across regions, right? Wasn't that something that came out this week too, or was talked about this week?
Azure Resource Mover did GA.
Yes.
And Resource Mover is available for certain types of resources. Like, it's not available for all resources. So, like, I know for me working in the storage PG, like, Azure Resource Mover doesn't work with storage accounts today. So you still have to have some other kind of mechanism to make that happen. And realistically, like, if you've just got a VM and you're looking to, and you're already backing that up with Azure Backup, and you're looking to restore that in another region, like, now this is just a capability that's built directly in and ready to go for you.
Right in there. So you could, in theory, use it to move, or I suppose if you wanted to go grab some information out of it and wanted to restore it in some of the region. I'm trying to think through the use case in my head, like, when would I restore it, or when would I be trying to restore it to another region?
You could have had some other type of, I think there's a couple, right? Like, you've got the ancillary thing of maybe you want to recover a file off it, although you could always maybe download a disk or
Same region, right? Or download,
Depending on how it was encrypted, things like that. You might have, like, copy of a VM that you want to share with somebody else. Like, hey, I stood this thing up. It can't be imaged. You know, I can't sysprep it or seal it in any given way. I just want to restore it on the other side. You might be going through that motion of doing a move, and maybe you don't want to go learn something like Azure Resource Mover, which is, you know, yet another service and yet another thing that you need to learn about. Like, you already know about, you know, VMs and your backup vaults and things like that along the way. Or, you know, maybe you had a disaster and you just have a desire to stand up in a new region now
and go over there.
We've talked about, you know, regional differences for things like compute and maybe availability of features, like availability zones, things like that. Like, if it's just a VM and you're already doing it, like, this is here and ready to go for you.
Right. And that was what I was thinking. I was almost thinking of the restores. I'd probably use it more for move than an actual DR scenario, because especially if you're backing up to the same region it's running in, if you would happen to lose access to that region, you're also not going to be able to get to the backup to restore it to a different region. Right.
I believe they're copied into, like, a secondary vault. I'd have to get hands on with it, but
hands on and play with it more.
You should be able to get that to where it needs to be.
Yeah. Some interesting use cases there. And that's what I was thinking. Like, I just kept thinking, I was like, I feel like I'd use this more of that move type scenario of, I want to get it to another region for some particular reason.
Yeah.
Another reason for another region for another reason.
Another reason, yeah. For another region for
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. What you said.
Yes. Oh. So, Scott, do you know how many files are shared outside your organization? Or are you sure that every team in your Microsoft 365 tenant has a valid owner? Guess what? ShareGate's got your back. After helping thousands of customers move to Office 365, they've learned that success in the cloud involves more than just migration. That's why they created ShareGate Apricot, an automated governance platform for Microsoft Teams and Microsoft 365 groups. ShareGate Apricot can help you answer questions like these without planning unnecessary restrictions on your users. With ShareGate Apricot, you get full visibility across each team's lifecycle from creation all the way through to archival. You can automate manual tasks involved in identifying problem areas like inactive or orphan teams. And you can collaborate with team owners on corrective measures to keep your teams tidy and secure. That's also why they've combined ShareGate Desktop, their trusted migration and content management tool, with ShareGate Apricot in a single subscription, so that you have everything you need to be successful in the Microsoft cloud. You're going to have to walk me through this. You sent me to azadvertiser.net.
So, yeah.
Release and change tracking on Azure governance capabilities.
So AZ Advertiser is a website that it's not built and maintained by the Azure product groups or anything like that, but it's a tool that you can use to keep track of changes that are occurring within Azure governance capabilities. So if you think about governance in Azure and kind of the governance plane, so that might be things like Azure policy, where you have policy definitions, you certainly have your policy sets, you might have things like role definitions inside of Azure AD that are then leveraged by Azure RBAC. There could be certain types of like resource provider operations that are exposed out to the world that you potentially want to know about. And what this tool is it's effectively a change tracking mechanism for what's going on within that governance plane of Azure. So for something like Azure policy, like if you've ever played with it, there's a bunch of built-in policies.
Yep.
You can have a policy that says, you know, something like all my VM disks must be encrypted and show me the ones that aren't or that are out of compliance. So then I can go and encrypt them. Or every VNet needs to be tied through VNet peering over to, you know, from like this hub over to this spoke and set things like that. There's tons of not only monitoring, but also potential automated change that you can affect within your environment with things like policy. Well, what if you could track policy and specifically know about all the built-in policies that Microsoft has out there that exist today and the new ones that are coming out as well? I'll call it like one for storage that we've had a bunch of customers asking for, but we didn't have a built-in policy for it, was the ability to enable storage logging with Azure Monitor and make sure that all your logs for your storage accounts, for your blob service, your file service, your queues, your tables, things like that are being sent into a sync point, like a log analytics workspace, an event hub, or potentially even like another storage account for backup. So we had so many people asking for it that I went out and created a community policy and we put that out on our official community policy repo. And then over time, like we want that to become a built-in policy. So it is, and it got released. And funny enough, like the only way that I knew it was out there was by monitoring an RSS feed from AZ Policy Advisor. I was like, oh, cool. So like that thing that I was building and maintaining over in community policy really doesn't need to be around anymore because the actual portal and governance teams picked it up and built an official policy. So you can use this tool kind of like maybe like the way you think about monitoring something like the Azure updates feed of, okay, hey, let me go in and sign up for the RSS feed from AZ Policy Advisor that's filtered down to everything around policy for Azure Web Apps or Azure SQL or Synapse or storage, like whatever the particular category, or maybe like you want to filter by a certain display name, things like that, like whatever it is, and be able to have that monitoring in place so that then you can go and take a look at that and see what it's doing. The other cool thing is because it's doing change tracking is you'll know when existing things like existing built-in policies change along the way, which is, I think that's like super cool and super powerful if you're deep in Azure and like these are things that interest you or affect your day-to-day work.
Right. Because as these change, I mean, it's kind of like changes even in Microsoft 365 where some of these things could affect your environment. So you want to keep up to date on what's coming out. If there's new ones you want to roll out or like you said, this tracks changes to existing policies, if that's going to affect you. This is a nifty site to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I've been a fan of it. It's been neat to see it up there.
So what are these? Like, I was looking through because they have the policies and then they have initiative, alias, RBAC roles. I don't even know how you would pronounce that last one up there.
ResProvOps is how I would go for that one. Resource Provider Operations.
Got it. So you can monitor all of those differently too. And RBAC roles, is that just new RBAC roles or changes to what an RBAC role, different roles within that could or cannot do?
It is both new and changes. So maybe like an example of where you would want to track a change there is for a while now, there's been a capability within RBAC to make the distinction between management plane operations and data plane operations. So you might have like a contributor role to a data resource, like a SQL database, and maybe like, I forget what the exact thing is, but you know, you've got like Microsoft.SQL contributor, blah, blah, blah. And that allows you to do N set of activities today. Well, what if, you know, what is four activities today becomes six tomorrow? What were the new things that Microsoft added as data plane operations within Microsoft SQL? And then that's all just kind of like manifest and available for you right there. Which again, if you're actively managing these things and you're kind of super deep into it and you're trying to understand like what is changing around me in the built-in stuff, it's a great way to do it. Like particularly for roles. Roles are changing all the time and role definitions. In the past, I've kind of guided customers towards only create custom role definitions when you really need to, right? Like you should be using built-in roles as much as you can. So I would look at something like this as a tool to say like, hey, those of you who have created custom roles because you felt there was a gap in a built-in role along the way, like maybe this is another tool in the toolbox to help you monitor that and see like, is there an opportunity for me to transition from a custom role to a built-in role along the way? Like no matter where that, like what scope that role is applied at, right? Like up at management group, subscription, resource, whatever.
Right. Well, and you may even want to make changes to your custom roles based on what you see happening here. If there's some other functionality or feature or something like that that's rolled out that you would have to add to your custom roles, I can see where this would be helpful for keeping an eye on that as well.
Yeah. If you think this one's cool and you're like, oh, you know, the idea of a change tracking mechanism for Azure governance sounds cool, but it's really not for me. Like I'm more in the Microsoft 365 space or SharePoint or Teams.
You've been holding out on me.
Or things like that. I would also recommend maybe you go take a look at the Docs update tracker. So docsupdatetracker.net, which is another one of these kind of community projects, which is intended to track changes specifically within docs.microsoft.com. And you can kind of pick a pillar, right? Whether it's Azure Docs, M365 Docs, maybe it's like PowerShell, even Graph is in there as a pillar. So for instance, if I go into M365 Docs, I could specifically track changes within Microsoft 365. If you follow along with me here, go to that site, click.
I'm already down in the weeds.
Yeah. It's a pretty cool mechanism without having to hop all the way out to GitHub and see all the changes and potentially all the noise that comes with those changes, right? Like automated build notices, all the other things along the way.
Outlook add-ins are a great way to improve productivity and save time in the workplace, and Sperry software has all the add-ins you'll ever need. The Save as PDF add-in is a bestseller and is great for project backups, legal discovery, and more. This add-in saves the email and attachments as PDF files. It's easy to download, easy to install, and Sperry software's unparalleled customer service is always ready to help. Download a free trial at sperrysoftware.com, SperrySoftware.com, and see for yourself how great Save as PDF is. Listeners can get 20% off their order today by entering the code CLOUDIT. That's CLOUDIT, CLOUDIT, all one word at checkout. Sperry Software, work in email, not on email. Have you tried throwing this in an RSS reader yet? Does it handle? Because it looks like it's maybe a static HTML site.
So this one, I haven't seen the same capability in Docs Update Tracker that's over in AZ Advertiser. AZ Advertiser does have that RSS capability, at least for things like policy that's there today. I didn't see that on the Docs side, but maybe it'll be something they add over time. But maybe you just add this to like your morning coffee reading list.
Or you go ping Thorsten on LinkedIn because he has a link to his LinkedIn profile on that site. And you say, I would like an RSS feed. And you ask him really nicely. Both of these, like he put right on there, he was kind of inspired to track this one based on AZ Advertiser, which was Julian Hayward. And both of those guys have their links to their LinkedIn profiles on those sites. Like you said, they're not official Microsoft products, but both of those guys do look like they are Microsoft employees.
Yes. Yeah.
Very cool. I'm gonna have to play with this Docs update tracker.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that one.
Yeah, I feel like there's more and more changes. I am struggling more and more to keep up with everything.
The only constant is change.
Yes. And somebody asked me on LinkedIn, I think it was LinkedIn, an email, like best ways to keep up with changes. And my approaches haven't changed, although this Docs update tracker might get added to my list. But just the RSS feed lately and the product roadmap, and then just kind of watching Twitter, social media, I've been struggling to just keep up with those. That's still kind of my go-to for what's going on. And I went into my message center. I have not done a great job at watching the message center lately. I need to get back into monitoring that closer. There's stuff popping up in the message center that I haven't seen anywhere else yet.
I think you have to pick and choose where you want to be along the way. There's things like maybe podcasts like this that can help condense it down for you. There's YouTube shows, videos. I think like you have to pick the medium that's right for you. And if you're maybe more visual and you go like YouTube's your thing, maybe you want to go subscribe to Sean Bugler and Matt Wade do a podcast called M365 Refresh, which is kind of a recap of the news and the admin center. There's a couple podcasts that are dedicated just to the Microsoft 365 Message Center and reviewing that along the way. You've got video feeds from Microsoft and third parties. Like if I was into, say, like Azure and I wanted quick snippet like video updates, I would go subscribe to a filtered feed from maybe like Microsoft Mechanics and have that come up along the way for me.
You forgot to say my podcast or my YouTube channel, Scott.
I was saving the best for last, or you could go learn about Teams and Two from IntelliJink.
Yeah. Well, so I've started doing other stuff too. I did a sensitivity labels one and I was doing the Teams and Two. To be fair, those didn't gain as much traction as I thought they might. So I've been doing more admin focused stuff lately. I need to do another one. So if anybody has something they want to see too around some Microsoft 365 Azure admin type something or other, let me know. And I'll go do another one because I'm due for another one as soon as I find time. Those take so much time, Scott.
YouTube videos do take a long time.
But yes, there are a lot of great YouTube channels out there and things you can gather from there. And I feel like there's been a whole bunch of people popping up and doing more and more on YouTube lately. I think everybody's like locked in their houses due to the pandemic and they're like, I should start a YouTube channel because everybody's run out of stuff to watch on Netflix and Amazon Prime.
Yeah, listen, we all need more time at OBS, so it's a thing.
Yes. All right. Well, with that, I have a meeting coming up here in 10 minutes.
Yep, real life's going to catch up with us.
Yes, so I should probably go do that. And I need some sleep. I was tired today, Scott. I'm out of it today. So thank you for all of the updates because my brain's not functioning.
That's my pleasure.
All right. Well, go enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully I'll get some sleep for next week and we'll be back with a bunch more probably Ignite stuff. We'll try to find some Ignite stuff to talk about next week or communication credits and calling out of Teams meetings. That's another one on our list.
The possibilities are endless here.
They are. We'll find something to talk about. So enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next week, Scott.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.